As always, Lord, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And Lord, today we also pray for the lifting of sorrow off of our hearts and our souls, that we may receive the oil of gladness and joy upon our heads. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so, you know, this topic of sorrow and mourning and grieving and all of this, you know, it's a, it's kind of a solemn topic. But on the other hand, it's gladness and joy that the Lord offers us. And there are different reasons why we may have sorrow. There are different times when we may sorrow. You know, sometimes, you know, just like we covered yesterday, it may be because of losses and different things. You know, it could be even the loss of family or loved one, or loss of, you know, material things, important things, loss of job, you know, loss of this or that. You know, all kinds of things can bring sorrow. But when there is sorrow, what exactly does the Lord give us instead? And when we are, offer us instead, but when we are sorrowful, what does the Lord invite us to do? You know, so I've got some scriptures to share with us on, you know, scriptures of hope when there is sorrow and so forth. But let's start off with this one. And this is a good one because it's more or less like a prescription that is given in the book of James. You know, so in James chapter 5 and verse 13, is anyone among you afflicted? Well, let him pray. In other words, if you're sorrowful and so forth, you know, prayer is what is recommended. If you are merry, well, it's recommended that you sing psalms and rejoice. If you are sick, it's recommended that you call for the elders of the church, and they may pray over you with the oil in the name of the Lord. You know, but when you are sorrowful, prayer is the number one recommended action that we should take. We'll see some of the things that David said, you know, in the Psalms, you know, how when, you know, he was sorrowful, he turned to the Lord, and how the Lord, so, you know, he would say things like, cried unto the Lord, my voice, you know, and the Lord heard me out of his holy temple. I mean, crying unto the Lord. We covered that also, you know, a few weeks back, the cry of the righteous, you know. I cried unto the Lord, but the Lord made my supplication and my complaint before him, you know, and so on. And many places, you know, in the scriptures that David will say that. He will say, like, in my distress, in my sorrow, I cried unto the Lord, you know, with my voice, and the Lord heard me. You know, it says this in many places throughout the scriptures. You know, we'll just read, a few of them of, you know, where, you know, but, you know, the key thing is that he knew how and what to do when he was in sorrow and affliction. Psalm 3 and verse 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me, you know, out of his holy hill. You know, cried unto the Lord. In my distress, he said, I cried unto the Lord. Before we go too far today, let's consider what is it that you do when you are in distress. And when you are in sorrow, what do you do? So that's one thing we want to consider today. What is it you do? Again, in Psalm 120, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. You know, this is how he always said it. I mean, so many places throughout the Psalms, he would talk about crying unto the Lord when he was in sorrow and distress, and how the Lord also heard him. You know, so what is it that we do when we have sorrow? Again, Psalm 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, and I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You know, so he always knew where to go when he had trouble. You know, he said, look, I cried unto the Lord in verse 5 of Psalm 142. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You know, and he said, Lord, attend unto my cry. I was brought very low. Deliver me, O Lord, from my persecutors, because they are stronger than I. And, you know, and so on and so forth. But he always knew where to go with prayer when he was in sorrow and distressed. So what is your response when it's sorrow of heart? Is there, you know, I mean, it would be great if we could always rejoice, you know, all the time, you know, commanded in the scriptures, actually exhorted and commanded, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, but sadly, that's not always the case. As Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And again, throughout the Psalms, there's many places. Not only does he cry unto the Lord when he's in distress, but he was also someone that was quick to say, you know, rejoice in the Lord, you know, make a loud noise, you know, shout unto the Lord the voice of praise, and all these things that he used to say. And he knew how to, you know, have a balance, you know, between times of distress, how you call unto the Lord, and also, you know, in times of joy. I mean, he was one person that knew to do that. And he was never shy about, you know, praising the Lord either. I mean, he was always ready, you know, sing praises, he would say unto the Lord, sing praises unto our King, you know, and so forth like that. And he would talk about, you know, all the various things, you know, let the people praise the Lord, let all the people praise the Lord. He would talk about, you know, clap unto God and shout unto him with a voice of triumph, you know, make a, you know, the loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. And he was always saying these things. Now, rejoicing and singing praise is it's an intentional act that we must do, you know, when sorrow sets in. And, you know, there are different heights of sorrow. It may not be worst case where we lose someone. It may just be various things. I mean, just in this world, Jesus said with sorrow, you know, John chapter 16, verse 33, tribulation brings sorrow. I mean, it's just distress, you know, problems just bring sorrow. And, you know, even when things are not going well, it just makes our heart to be heavy and sorrowful. I mean, when Hannah was praying before the Lord in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, she was sorrowful. You know, Eli thought that she had been drunken because she, you know, she was praying in her heart. She didn't speak the words out loud, but, you know, her lips were moving, you know, along with the words that she was saying. So Eli thought she had been drunken. And he said, look, you know, how long will it be that you look at the, you know, at the wine? Put it away from you, Eli said. And the woman said, oh, no, my lord, not, don't think of me as one of the daughters of Belial. I'm not drunken. My heart is full of sorrow. That's where I poured out my spirit unto the Lord. You know, so these people, they knew where to go when their heart was full of sorrow. You know, Hannah knew to go to the Lord. And she poured out her heart before the Lord. And, you know, in her case, there was something that was bothering her. Well, what is your, you know, situation? What is it that make your heart to be heavy at times? The key, the first key lesson today is you must know where to turn to. And that is to the Lord. That's right. You must turn to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is there to help you. Turn to the Word of God. Turn to Him in prayer. Pour out your spirit. It's okay. Pour out your soul. So the psalmist said, I made my complaint before Him. I poured out my soul to the Lord. Yeah. Make your complaint. Pour out your soul. It's between you and your Father anyway. Pour out your soul to Him. You know, so that's what we should do. Not, you know, bury us. Don't allow this sorrow to bury you, you know, or, you know, people, when they are sorrowful, they turn to things that can destroy them even more. Some people turn to drinking. They think they can drown their sorrow with that, you know, high in the world. So, you know, some people turn to taking a gallon of chocolate ice cream. I've seen that on TV. I just laugh. You know, all those things, you know, that's not going to quench your sorrow. The Lord is the one that can give you victory over that. And, you know, sometimes it's good to pour out your heart. Don't try to always suppress the sorrow. You know, pour it out before the Lord. But it is to the Lord we should pour it out, not to anything else or anyone else. Just pour out your heart to the Lord and He will hear you. You know, because we've seen so many examples like that in the scriptures. But I will give you some promises. I mean, you can imagine for yourself situations in which you have been sorrowful. Even Christ, you know, one time he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. You know, but what did he do? You know, he went and prayed even more, you know, prayed even more. And, you know, I mean, in fact, he prayed, you know, as a result of that sorrow that was gripping him, you know, he prayed until blood was coming out of his head like sweat. Well, now that's a man that knew where to go, you know, when there is sorrow, and sorrow gripped his heart because he knew it. That he was going to be separated from the Father. You know, he knew it. I mean, yeah, he could endure anything, but that separation from the Father, he couldn't take it. He just couldn't do it. You know, because he had never, even before the world began, never been separated from the Father. But there was coming a moment that he was going to have to deal with that. You know, and the sorrow gripped his heart. My goodness, you know, because, you know, to be made sin, the sins of the world will be laid upon him. He will become darkness. And once you're darkness, you cannot be a part of God. So for, you know, for a moment, he knew it was coming. And fear gripped his heart. You know, I mean, he just knew it. You know, I can't do this. I can't go through this. But he went and prayed for strength. But at the same time, he knew, well, I must go through it. Because not my will be done, but thine, Father, be done. But he prayed for strength. He prayed for strength. He prayed for strength. He prayed! You know, so when we are sorrowful, the lesson is turn to the Lord. Don't turn to this or that, you know. Turn to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, God may also raise up, you know, sons of encouragement. You know, he may even send that the angel of the Lord to strengthen you. He may send someone, you know, to give you encouragement and so. But you first must turn to the Lord. You know, that's how we've seen the scripture commanded us, pray when you are sorrowful. And we've seen that psalmist, you know, many people, you know, prayed, you know, in their sorrow. Okay, so we have established that. Now let's read some promises that, you know, God will give about how he's going to help us to deal with sorrow of heart, you know, which can come upon us at any time. In times of refuge, I mean, in times of trouble, let the Lord be your refuge. Go to the Lord when your heart is burdened. You know, he is a place of refuge. The psalmist said, Psalm 9 and verse 9 said, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the times of trouble. When your heart is troubled, the Lord will be a refuge for you. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek the Lord. You know. But every time the psalmist talked about sorrow, he always come right back. It seemed as if his own recommendation or prescription to deal with sorrow was to praise the Lord, because he would always come right back. And he said, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. You know, so when you are sorrowful, then also praise the Lord. You know, for all the trouble that you suffer sometimes, you know, listen to this in verse 11 of that same Psalm 9. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. You know, he's always praying to the Lord. My trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, consider it, Lord, he said. You know, and the sorrow of my heart. You know, but he said, look, thou art the one that will lift me from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise. The gates of, you know, the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. So he knew it, that joy is coming, but he will do it by praising the Lord. You know, so, you know, that's a lesson for us to learn. When we are sorrowful, we go to the Lord, but we, you know, also find a way to pull out the praises of the Lord. The devil doesn't want you to praise the Lord, but you do it. And great victory can come from that. In the book of Psalm 30 and verse 5, you know it. He says, sorrow may endure for a night, but there is hope, because the Lord already promised that joy is coming in the morning. So God wants us to have joy. At this moment, we will be going through the night season where you have sorrow. But look on the bright side. That sorrow cannot last forever, just like the night cannot last forever. Joy is coming in the morning. And every time we see a new day, it is a reminder that sorrow cannot last forever. Now, it's a reminder. Psalm 30 verse 5 tells us that every new day is a reminder that your sorrow cannot last forever. Just like the morning is coming, the breaking of day, so will joy come after sorrow. It cannot be there forever. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, blessed are the sorrowful and the ones that mourn, for they will be comforted. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord said, you will be comforted. Praise the Lord. Let's read, you know, verses 10 to 12 of the same Psalm 30. Let's read verses 10 to 12 and see what else he has to say. Praise the Lord. Remember, if you just joined us, we are on the subject of sorrow and grieving and mourning and all that, and how the Lord will bring us into gladness and joy instead. And that's what the Lord offers us instead. You know, but let's make sure that we don't bury our heads when we go through sorrow. We all will have moments of that. And here's another way he put the prayer in verse 10 of Psalm 30 through the end. He said, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. You can always cry out for his mercy. That's a good thing. Mercy of the Lord is one thing that when you cry out for it, the Lord can never deny and turn his back or his deaf ear to that. Always cry out for the mercy of the Lord. Help me, Lord. Be thou my helper, he said. And now here is his testimony. Hallelujah. Thou hast turned for me my mourning and my sorrow into dancing. Glory to God. You know, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Hallelujah. So instead of sorrow and mourning, God will give you the spirit of joy and the ability to dance. But you've got to impress that upon yourself that, look, the Lord turned my mourning into dancing. You know, even before you actually see the end of the sorrow, you can begin to declare it. We've talked about that many times, using the word of your testimony as a tool to gain your victory. And you tell the devil, tell your soul too. You know, say, look, the Lord has turned my mourning to dance, or he will turn it. And then you begin to praise the Lord, you know, but take off, you know, cast away your sackcloth, you know, guard yourself, you know, with gladness, you know, to the end, that my glory may sing praise unto you. See, this man was always about praise. And that was a beautiful thing about him. His sorrow, sadness, grieving, and all these things, distress and pummeling from the devil and his enemies. But he'll find a way. He'll find a way to turn it around to praise. He said, all of these things will be for me, you know, and even my glory shall sing praise to thee, and I will not be silent. Hallelujah. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So that's how he battled sorrow of heart, you know. So that's a good way. Remember, turning to the Lord and also with praising the Lord. Let's see what he says in Psalm 33 and verse 20. You know, again, we're just going through some of the examples of David, you know, how he battled sorrow and so forth, and how he encouraged himself. Hallelujah. He said, look, when my soul is always waiting for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield, you know, for our heart shall rejoice in him. You know, this is the way that he looked. This was his outlook, in times of sorrow. I said, well, waiting for the Lord, our heart shall rejoice in him, because we trusted in his holy name. Have mercy, O Lord, upon us, according as we hope in you. You know, his hope was always directed to the Lord, no matter what he was facing. And he would have a testimony because of his hope. He would have a testimony in, Psalm 40. He said, look, when I was going through many things, sorrow and different things, mourning and sadness and grief and all of that. You know, there were many times he got into trouble, either from Saul, you know, and so forth, always trying to kill him, you know, even in his own family, you know, as Absalom and the rest of them, and all kinds of things, you know, happening, sorrow many times. But the end of it was he always found a way to praise the Lord. And he said, you know, here's his testimony in Psalm 40. I waited. Remember, we're just reading in Psalm 33:20. He's saying, wait on the Lord. He said, well, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. See, he always knew where to send his cry to. And the Lord, they brought me out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on the rock, and established my goings, and put a new song. Now, this man is always about singing to the Lord. You know, he'll find a way to get a song out of the situation. Praise the Lord. You know, he said, look, you know, when I was in, you know, a quagmire situation, when I was in, quicksand, when I was in the miry clay, when I was sinking, I cried unto the Lord, and Lord brought me out and gave me a new song. You know, so the Lord knew that this man's going to praise the Lord. So God will go to him and grant him deliverance to get that praise. Hallelujah. Lord always knew that this man will find a way, no matter what, to praise the Lord. Put a new song in my mouth, you know, and praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. You know, his own testimony will encourage you today. You know, I pray that the testimony of how this man David dealt with his troubles in turning to the Lord with his prayer and he always determined in his heart to praise the Lord. I pray that those testimonies and lessons, you know, will also encourage you today to do the same. Praise the Lord. You know, let's read, you know, some of the things he talked about. His sorrows also. He knew that there are many times that he would have sorrow. And we also were experiencing that today, you know, but let's take courage. Psalm 34, let's read verses 18 and 19. You know, and see how, again, he said, look, the Lord is always nigh to those that are of a broken heart, sorrowful heart, those that are in distress and they're heavy, their heart is broken because of whatever situation. Some people have, you know, their hearts are broken because of, you know, broken relationship, broken family, broken marriage, losses, you know, distresses, or what have you. You know, maybe you put a lot into investment, you lost it all. Now you're in sorrow, you're in distress, your heart is broken, you know. But he said, the Lord is nigh unto you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, he said, you know, but the Lord, he will deliver him out of them all. So he always has a testimony and a positive outlook, regardless of where he may find himself. You know, let's read Psalm 126. Verses 4 to 6. And I posted a message yesterday that had to deal with this. I think it was yesterday or so. You know, I call it, you know, your tears of faith being turned into a harvesting of joy. You know, in Psalm 126, this is how the psalmist put it. He said, look, you know, those that go forth with weeping or come back with joy, you know, so weeping is sorrow. Sorrow of heart is what brings weeping. Well, you know, your weeping will not end with weeping. Amen. Your weeping will end with joy. Hallelujah. This is what he says right here. So let's read it together. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. Psalm 126 and verse 4. As it streams in the south. Always his prayer toward the Lord. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. See? Now, the end of your tears will be joy. In Jesus' name. Now, those tears must be tears of faith, though. You know, and then it will come into a harvesting of joy. You know, that's the way I put it. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know, that's your faith. With your sorrow and your weeping and so forth before the Lord, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. Now that's the victory, you know, sound, and that's the successes and the trophies that you will get, you know, over every situation. This will be your sheaves. Praise God. It's like a harvest. You know, you've toiled, and now it's a harvest. Well, sometimes we, you know, toil and labor over that sorrow, you know, of heart and so forth. But if we cry unto the Lord, know how to do it, cry unto the Lord, like, you know, like Hannah did and David and some of these people, he will come through for you. And at the end, coming out with rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Now, no, you know, present condition of sorrow is pleasant. You know, some people, the way they deal with sorrow and sadness, you know, when they they fall into depression. And it's easy to fall into depression when you separate yourself from fellowship. That's how some people deal with situations. You know, when they're going through, they will just withdraw and, you know, just be there by themselves. Well, you're not helping anything by doing that. The devil will have a greater chance of, you know, battering you down even more when you do that. Remember the example that I've given multiple times here of how the prowler, you know, the lion, the tiger and, you know, leopard and all this. They're looking for animals to pounce on. And they see a flock of deer or whatever. When those, you know, deer are clustered together, the lion is confused. He doesn't know who to go after. You just wait, you know. But he prowl there, he wait. You know, once they're clustered together, he can't go after all of them. If he starts running towards them, they scatter in every direction and he get nothing. You know, so he just waits and waits and waits and waits. Crouch down in the grass there, you know, getting ever so closer, but can't really do anything because there are too many. Strength in numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But the moment one of those deer walk away from that pack, he's dead meat. You know, I've seen it all the time. Watch it on National Geographic. I love to watch those series on TV and so on. And, you know, nature teaches you all these things. You know, so when you are going through, don't withdraw. You know, in fact, contrary wise, you know, get in fellowship. It'll help you. You know, so, you know, rather than withdrawing and so forth. Yeah, but I know that sometimes you are in fellowship, but you are still sorrowful. In fact, the psalmist, he went through that too. There's nothing you are experiencing that's different from anybody. Psalmist said in Psalm 42, he said, look, I went with those that kept holy day, you know, and shouted the victory, you know, in the church and so forth. But, you know, my heart was heavy, you know, I went crying all the days, all my days, my bones cleaved to my flesh and my tears were my meat all day long. Yet I went with those that kept holy day. But meanwhile, my heart was sorrowful. So these things do happen. You know, I mean, sometimes people go, I mean, you don't know what's going on. You know, when you come to, people are shouting the victory and so forth. There are people in there that are sorrowful. You know, they just, you know, they drag themselves to church anyhow. But I guarantee you, if you come with an open heart, you know, something's going to touch your heart. You know, it might be the sound of joy, the music, the praise in the Lord, that you come into his presence or the things and that. Or you may hear a testimony or you may see something, you know, and it will help you. It will be a burden lifter. You know, when you come into fellowship, but if you stay alone, all alone, cover your head, your blanket in your room, you know, and some people go, you know, I don't know. I mean, some people go even as far as despairing of life. They say, well, I don't know. I can't take this anymore. And they start to think so many different things. And the devil try to put different things in your heart just because of sorrow of heart. Don't do it. You're coming out of that a victor. And you're going to stick it to the devil. That's right. That we need to stick these things to the devil. You know, don't let the devil get one over you and then think, yeah, you know, no, the devil is having no joy over me. You know, it's not going to gloat over me. No way, no how. You know, I can do all things by the God who strengthens me. I'm not going to let the devil, he'll poke at you all the time. I mean, he knows how to get those pain points, but the Lord also knows how to save the righteous, sir. Glory to God. You know, he will save you out of all your distresses, but you must cry to the Lord. And, you know, don't abandon fellowship either. You know, you can get an encouraging word. You can get, you know, joy in the presence of the Lord and different things like that. You know, it's helpful. Praise the Lord. Well, let's continue to read. The book of Proverbs will tell you that, look, sorrow, you know, will dry up your bones. You know, when people allow sorrowful, they'll get so sorrowful and sorrowful and so forth. You know, sicknesses, you know, and may even come to a place where people get into a state of unwellness. You know, he says here in Proverbs 15 and verse 13, he said, look, sorrow of heart will break the spirit. But a merry heart will, you know, give, you know, a cheerful countenance. You know, let joy be in your heart. Praise God. You know, happiness, you know, be intentional about rejoicing. Be intentional about being happy. Well, it's hard to, you know, when you're dealing with a lot of sorrow. But, you know, just practice the presence, you know, of the Spirit of God to comfort you. You know, he's there. Practice his presence. And lean on him and call on him. And if you need to cry, well, cry on him. You know, that's okay. If you need, you know, some people say, well, we need shoulders to cry on. Well, yeah. Holy Spirit, he's got broad shoulders. You can cry on him all day long, you know, but he'll not going to leave you in that crying state. while you're crying to the Lord, you know, also listen to what he will say. That's right. See, that's the, you know, that's the thing, that the Holy Spirit there, he's the God of all comfort. And he will comfort you, you know, through the distress and situations. There's hardly anybody that can go through without, you know, facing these challenges of life. And then sometimes you're on top of the mountain and everything's good. But occasionally, you'll be down. It's kind of like you're down in doldrums. You're down in the valley. You're down in darkness. And it looks like, you know, God has forsaken you. And devil will tell you that too. You know, but stay on the Lord. You know, don't let the enemy even, you know, try to think that he got one over you. Stay right there with the Lord. And when you are trusting in the Lord and it looks like you are still in darkness, well, what does the Lord say that you should do then? Well, let's read it in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and walketh in darkness and yet hath no light? Look, you're doing all these things. Yeah, you're hearing what you were saying you should do and you're trying to do them, but still your situation is not any better. You know, there was a story in the Bible, the scripture calls it, you know, a woman, you know, with the issue of blood. He said, look, she did everything she could, ran from pillar to post, spent all her living on doctors, but her situation was nothing bettered. In fact, it grew worse, is what the scripture says. You know, so there are times when we're doing everything we can and we should, but situation may still grow worse and get no improvement. Or at least so it would seem. What should you do then? Here's what he tells you to do. Listen to this in Isaiah 50 and 10. If you are in this situation where you're trying everything, calling on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, and you're trying to walk in the light and so forth, yet, you know, darkness comes upon you. You know, the moments of darkness are the times when God's voice is nowhere to be heard. And then the devil will tell you, well, God has forsaken you now. Look at you, being all righteous and doing all these things and so forth. What do you get from it? God has forsaken you. Now look at you, you're going through. You know, you're here now. You know, devil will say all that. But this is what the Lord says you should do. Let him continue to trust in the name of the Lord. If you're going through this situation like this, it looks like you're doing everything, but yet there is still no light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Well, continue to trust in the name of the Lord and stay right there upon your God. Stay with him. He said, let him stay on his God. Stay right there. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't fold up. And don't let the devil call a W over you and say, yeah, we got him. No. A devil will always come up in the losing department. If you stay on your God and you call upon the name of the Lord, call upon him in the day of distress, he will hear you. And don't let the devil tell you that God has forsaken you. God will never. He will never forsake you. You know, sometimes we go through, though, but he will never forsake you. Well, let's read, other powerful promises. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 3. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 14 and 3. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou hast been made to serve. That's right. And then you'll be able to say boldly that the Lord has been my helper, and how hath the oppressor ceased. This is coming for you, saith the Lord, that the Lord God that spoke this word will give you rest from your sorrow and from your grief and from your distress. And if you believe it, you can say amen. You know, the Lord will do it too for you. and he will cause your heart bondage and all of these things and the thing that is oppressing you and bringing this sorrow upon you, he will bring you relief. And then you'll have a testimony against the king of Babylon, which is the devil himself. Your testimony will be, how had the oppressor ceased? God has given me the victory over the oppression of the devil. You know, nobody is immune from all this, sorrow of heart and different things. It'll come, you know, and try to get you down and try to get you to distrust the Lord and lose confidence in his ability to pull you out. But you must prepare the response of your heart that I am not going to fold up. I am not to give in. I'm not going to give in, and I'm not going to give up. The Lord is going to deliver me from the sorrow of heart, and he will give me rest from my sorrow and from my fear, and from all of the things that brought the sorrow upon me. That's what this scripture says, Isaiah 14 and 3. So be encouraged by the saying of the Lord. Well, let's see some powerful promises. Isaiah 35 verse 10 and Isaiah 51 verse 11. They just about almost say the same thing. And many of us, you know that there's even some song that we sing out of that. Therefore shall the redeemed of the Lord return. Glory to God. You know, this is a point blank promise that the Lord gave. Yeah, well, it covers Israel. It covers you too. You know, that the Lord promised to bring, you know, restoration. Hallelujah. You know, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy in their heads. Now they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's Isaiah 35, 10. I like it even better in Isaiah 51, 11. But it's the same kind of thing that it's saying. Let's read it. Isaiah 51 and 11. Hallelujah. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Now, this is something that God promises, and eventually, you know, we'll begin to experience that. You know, there's a time when sorrow and mourning will truly flee away from the people of God, you know, beginning from, you know, the millennium, climb up into, you know, the New Jerusalem and all of that. God will do it. Wipe away all tears. The book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. He will take away the things that bring sorrow. Did you know? You know, let me just digress a little bit and tell you about God wiping away all tears from your eyes. What does it all mean? Well, let's read it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And again he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, that is worth the price of admission, as they say. You know, for you to get to the place where the Lord says you will inherit all things is worth anything that we go through, but you must overcome. He said, you know, this is the promise for the overcomer. You must overcome all these things that we're talking about in this series. You know, that's what he said here. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. But let me talk to you about wiping away tears from their eyes and so forth. You know, how is the Lord going to do it? Well, he said, look, tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. He will be God himself, shall be among them, and so forth. Wipe away their tears. Huh? What kind of tears? You know, tears. I mean, once you get into the presence of the Lord, there ought to be fullness of joy. So that you, in one way, This is wiping away their tears. You know, they will forget all the tears. But I guarantee you, if you're there and you remember that your loved ones are not saved, you will be in sorrow. You know, it's like the man that got up there and said, Father Abraham, send me, you know, to my brothers and so forth, so that they won't come into this place. He remembered that his brothers were not saved. And he had sorrow. Well, the Lord said, I will wipe away your sorrows. So God will fix it. You know, I believe with all my heart that my family will be saved. Yours will be saved too, because thou shalt be saved in thy house. I believe that with all my heart. And that's our prayer. But we must do our part. We must share the word of God and the testimony and so forth. But if you were to remember that throughout all eternity, that your family was not saved, you will have sorrow of heart. And so God will wipe away that sorrow. Either they are saved or you won't remember it. You know, medical science today, they have something they can put into your, you know, when they put you to sleep, put a little thing in there that take away, you know, your ability to remember something. Short-term memory loss, they induce it. You know, you can't remember because of something that happened in the past where they thought someone was put to sleep and they decided saying something, but he wasn't really put to sleep and he could hear them. And there was a big lawsuit and all of that, you know. So now, and that's why when you come out of that, you know, anesthesia, first thing they'll ask you is, they'll try to ask you your name, what you're doing here, so on and so forth. You know, just to make sure that you gain back your short-term memory. If science can do that, imagine what the Lord can do. I will remove your transgressions as far from the sea, east to the west, and so forth. So cast them away. The Lord will remove those things. You won't even remember. The Lord himself said, I will not remember them. And the Lord will remove sorrow. And anything that will make you sorrowful in his presence, he will remove it. It will either all be saved or you won't remember. You know, you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, let me leave that there. But, you know, I know it from the Lord because he said, I will wipe away all sorrow from your heart. And he has a way that he can do it, you know. And, but here our prayer is that they be saved and all of them, you know. And a few weeks ago, I told you how that the brethren, brothers of Jesus, they themselves were saved. At one time, they didn't believe in him. But by the time, you know, John was writing to the elect lady, he said, well, you know, I write unto you because I'm glad that your, you know, your children are now saved. And they were there with, you know, the rest of the brethren to receive the Holy Spirit. So in the life of Jesus, his brethren were saved. They didn't start out being saved at first. You can read in John chapter 7 that they did not believe in him, but later on in life, they were saved. And I believe that for you, for me, if we can really believe it, and pray for our families, pray for our loved ones, and give them a witness, you know, both in behavior, but also by voice. Tell it to them of the goodness of the Lord. Praise God. And when they see how God has turned your life around, they knew you before, and then they see that change in you, it will speak volumes to them as well. But I believe that, you know, we should pray for our families and witness the love of Christ to them and speak to them of the gospel, and the Lord will save them. But, you know, those kinds of things can bring sorrow, you know, and, but let's do everything we can right now to make sure that we tell them about the Lord so we won't be sorrowful when they die. You know, if you tell them about the Lord, the scripture says in first, you know, the book of First Thessalonians and so forth, you know, which, you know, people read all the time about, you know, about, you know, people that die. You know, Paul said, look, I don't want you to be sorrowful, you know, when your loved ones die, you know, especially if they knew the Lord, you know, because the Lord will fix it so that you will not be sorrowful. But one way to make sure is to witness and tell them of the love of Christ. Now, you know, and then you won't be sorrowful, or you should not be when they die. Well, let's read First Thessalonians. Let me just digress here a little bit. First Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, look, but I would not be to have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. As 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, the Lord is not going to leave, you know, getting the bride to someone else. He's coming himself. He's going to do it. He'll come with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, so, you know, let's do what we can to, you know, to witness to our loved ones. But if they die in the Lord, that you are aware that they die in the Lord, then don't sorrow. You know, because that's the greatest thing that they could have, you know, you could get from them. And, you know, some people have had their loved ones, you know, give their lives to Christ just at the tail end of their lives. And isn't that marvelous and beautiful that you can now be assured that they, you know, they go away, that die in the Lord and so forth, you know. And if you have loved ones like that, then don't be sorrowful, you know. So, you know, that's another way to get rid of that sorrow is the hope, you know, that they are coming out of that grave. And then, you know, you don't be sorrowful because you'll see them again. If you yourself stay in the faith, and you'll see them again, you know. And the Lord, the God of comfort, you know, who comforts us in all our tribulation, so that, you know, we may be able to comfort others. Praise God. You know, let's read 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 1. When you have comforted our God, he wants you to also comfort others, strengthen others. Jesus said to Peter, he said, look, the devil has desired to have you and sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. And then when you are converted, pray also for strengthen your brethren also. So this is what we do. We comfort that we receive of the Lord. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may also be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, the effectual and enduring of the same sufferings which we must suffer. And whether we be comforted, is for your consolation and your salvation. So the comfort that I am comforting you with today, and say, comfort ye, my people, as it is written in the book of Isaiah 40, it is because I myself have been comforted of the Lord. And I'm trying to encourage you the same. You know, don't let sorrow overwhelm you, or cry out to the Lord. And know that God is able to pull you out. And because of that, begin to, you know, forcibly turn your heart towards rejoicing and being intentional in praising the Lord. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And then he, you know, turned around and told us to speak words of comfort. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem or to God's people. You know, cry unto her and tell her warfare is accomplished and so forth. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, let me speak comfortably to you today that the Lord said he will give you rest for your sorrows. Hallelujah. We read that in Isaiah 14 and 3 already. He will give it to you. So be encouraged in the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Now let's read, you know, Isaiah 61 and verse 3. here are the things that the Lord said. You trade in. We play that song at the beginning, how you trade in your sorrows. And this is what God will trade you in. Or trade in, for your sorrows. This is what he gives you instead. He said, look, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord is appointed on me and so forth. On me to do all these things. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So when their heart is broken, God brings recovery. Liberty to the captives. Those who are bound, the Lord brings deliverance. Opening of prison to them that are bound. These are all the things. Proclaim the goodness of the Lord, and comfort to all that mourn. So this is what the Lord does. Bring comfort. And he said, look, I should proclaim comfort to you today. So if you that are in sorrow, those of you that are mourning in Zion, the Lord will give you beauty for ashes. Yeah, beauty for ashes. So putting ashes on your head, God said, no, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to take away the filthy garments. I'm going to take away the ashes. I'm going to take away the disgrace and the shame. And I'm going to bring joy and gladness. I'm going to give you beauty. I'm going to give you the oil of joy. Now, when the Lord puts oil of joy in your head, it's like you just be spinning for joy, not knowing what hit you. That's right. He will take that away from, take the mourning away, give you joy. He will anoint your head with joy. And he will take, instead of the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise is the antidote for that. It will break that thing quicker than anything we know. Prayer, crying unto the Lord and putting on your praises will break that spirit of heaviness, break that sorrow. And the purpose of all of it is that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he might be glorified. And through all of it all, he will be glorified. And that's all it's all about. And you yourself will receive joy in place of sadness and sorrow. You will receive the garment of praise in place of the spirit of heaviness, etc. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly see if I can wrap this up. Otherwise, I'll have to come back and finish it up tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to read this one and then I'll leave it there. I'll come back and I'll finish it up tomorrow. But I want to read this. Sometimes we have sorrow and sadness because of, our loved ones or our children that have gone, astray and so forth. Well, let me read this promise. There's some things I want to read to us. In Jeremiah 31, I want to read verses 12 and 13, and I also want to read verses 16 and 17, and just see what the Lord is saying, to us, even on this day. So here comes Jeremiah 31. I'll close with this today, and then I will pray, and I'll finish this up tomorrow. Jeremiah 31, I will read from verse 12 and then verse 13 and then 16 and 17. Praise the Lord. Let's read Jeremiah 31 and verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. That's right. Because of the restoration, God will bring wheat. Bring, and for wine and oil and the young of the flock and so forth, their soul shall be watered again, like a water garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. The Lord promises the removal of the sorrow and distress, and so forth. It says even the virgin shall rejoice in the dance, young men and old men together. I will turn their mourning into joy. And I will comfort them and make them rejoice, hallelujah, from their sorrow. Praise God. I will also satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with goodness, saith the Lord. Now, listen to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. God doesn't want us to just be crying and be sorrowful and so forth. He's touched and he's moved by those things and he will bring comfort. And your eyes from tears for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemies. Talking about your children. You know, parents, oftentimes, you know, when you see, righteous parents that love the Lord and so forth, and they see that their children are gone astray or not doing the right thing, you know, whatever, your children, your grandchildren, whomsoever, you know, and it brings sorrow of heart sometimes. But here is the promise of the Lord. You know, yeah, you've been weeping, you've been praying, you've been crying unto the Lord for that. And the Lord said, look, you know, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. Your work over these children, you know, according to, you know, Proverbs 22 and 6, you've been training them, teaching them the way they should go. The Lord said they will not depart, but they departed. Well, because the Lord said they will not depart, and they did depart, that means the Lord will bring them back. And your work over them shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again, ha, from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children, so we see it's talking about children, thy children shall come again to their own border. Praise the Lord. So if you have sorrow of heart because of that situation, where you have a child, a daughter, a son, a grandchild, and so forth, that's out there and are not following the ways that you've taught them and you've raised them and you're sorrowful over that, well, sorrow no more. Glory to God. The Lord will bring them back. He will round them up. They will come back again from the land of the enemy. And they will return to their own border, saith the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave it there today. I'll come back and finish this. And, tomorrow, more promises on gladness and joy. So let me leave it there so I don't speak too long today. But I'm going to pray over the room real quickly that the Lord will settle your hearts. Settle your heart that the Lord is with you, even when you are in sorrow. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, and for a moment you may have sorrow, you know, but joy is coming in the morning. Let me use this scripture to pray over us today, and we'll come back tomorrow and give some more, messages of hope, you know, for times of sorrow. You know, but I'm going to use this one scripture right here to just pray. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Now, so there is a glory that is coming. We read it in Isaiah. He said, look, you know, that you will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that the Lord might be glorified. His glory will be revealed in you, even through the sorrow and so forth that you are going through right now. So, Father, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for all your children, the beloved saints that are here. And we've spoken the word of God today to encourage everyone. And I pray that their hearts will be encouraged, even on here today. That none of us will be buried in distress and sadness and sorrow and depression and so forth. And I pray that the mind of Christ will be upon us, reminding us to get in the garment of praise. I pray and I sprinkle the oil of joy over the head of everybody that is here by faith today. Receive the oil of joy, the oil of gladness in Jesus' name. Cast away from you the ashes, you know, and the distress and so forth. And look unto the Lord. Scripture say, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Well, look unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord, and he has heard you already, he said, and he will bring you out and give you joy and gladness. Now, unto everyone here that's going through moments, or if you know anyone that's going through right now moments of sorrow and distress, and they're despondent, they're even at the point where they say, well, you know, I'm done. I'm tired of even life. Or I come against that in the name of Jesus. A sorrow of heart and too much of it will bring people to that sometimes when they don't know how to break that with praise. Now I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, I come against the spirit of despondency and despair. And sometimes it leads almost to people wanting to take their own lives. I come against that in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Now, let there be a returning of the people of God. Say, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing, come with joy. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Sighing and sorrowing and sadness and all these things shall flee away. Glory to God. Shall obtain gladness and joy. Let your people, Lord, obtain gladness and joy. You know, let the sighing, the proverbs of sighing and the proverbs of hissing and weeping and so forth, let it be gone. Let there be a testimony of joy that the Lord has turned my mourning into dancing and my sorrow into joy. Now, unto everyone that has been crying to the Lord, and if you will cry unto the Lord today, the promise of God is your tears of faith shall turn into a harvesting of joy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.